to take control of your happiness. This is Being Young at Any Age on EZ 1430. Now, here's your host, George Bentley.
Hello, hello, hello. This is George Bentley, your host of Being Young at Any Age, where we help you create your own self-directed roadmap and guide to optimal happiness, health, wellness, and vitality, no matter what your current challenges may be. I like to describe it as discovering how to thrive now, in the moment, today. You know, what knowledge and information can I apply in my life to help me live a higher quality life and be more proactive as we age? You know, I tell folks, Greg, me, Hank, everybody in the booth here today, you know, we're going to live to be 95, 100 years old. The only question is, how healthy and vibrant are we going to be when we get there? And how much health care are we going to consume getting from here to there? Mm-hmm. Those are huge personal, family, and social issues in question that we all need to be thinking about. And that's what this show is all about, help you figure it out. I like to describe it as discovering how to die young at an old age. And I lump this information into four big buckets that in many ways overlap each other, but I try to simplify it. It's eat right, exercise, avoid injury, reduce stress. So today, I'm really excited to have with us Greg Shepherd. Greg, I've known Greg for 5 or 6 years.
Yep.
We are complementary strategic partners in business. I know, like, and trust Greg. We've done a lot of work together over the years, and he has a lot of expertise. He's the president and owner of Ascent Mobility. And if you want to give them a shout-out or a visit, you can visit them at ascentmobility.com. That's their website. Greg is CAPS and CLIPS certified. So CAPS is Certified Aging in Place Specialist. CLIPS is Certified Living in Place Specialist. So you're special at helping people not go anywhere.
We try, right. We want people to stay in their home.
Stay at home and be healthy and vibrant. So today, we're going to talk about, as many of the viewers and listeners know, I talk a lot about home modifications. And this is where Greg and I work together. I have a company called Empower Home Solutions that does nothing but home modifications, primarily in the Medicaid environment. Greg and I work a lot together there. We work with him with lifts and elevators and, you know, anything of that nature. And then also Bentley Baths, which focuses on walk-in tubs, therapy tubs, and safe bathing appliances. So we just decided we would sit down and have a little conversation today and chat with you and let you listen in a little bit. And keep in mind, we really promote humor here,
right,
and laughter. So
unrehearsed.
Yeah, might be a little silly, but just chuckle with us and it'll be fine. So, Greg, if you were to fire off, what would be the first thing you would want to say to the listeners to be thinking about?
From a home accessibility standpoint, I would say that there's lots of equipment out there, that there's stuff out there that's coming up new every day. And it's hard to know everything that's out there, but there's a lot of equipment out there now that isn't necessarily super expensive or expensive at all that can help you stay safe in the house.
Right.
Sure.
Right. And you know, Bentley Wellness Technologies, and we talk a lot on the show in different contexts about these new cutting edge technologies. So in healthcare, you know, nanotechnology for our, I mean, the day's going to come when, you know, my toilet's going to tell me, you know, your blood sugar's too high or too low or whatever it is, right? And these technologies also are being developed in terms of staying at home, aging in place, and safety. And I like to tell people, as I'd say as a lawyer, you know, everything we do in the United States is a game, and you're not going to win the game if you don't know the rules. And you've got to ask questions, right? So I tell people, Greg, that you can agree or disagree with what we're saying. That's okay. I don't care. Either way, it's fine. But you need to be able to answer for yourself. Why? Why do you agree or why do you disagree? And I believe that two of the biggest killers, in particular of seniors today, are what I call denial and ain't no river in Egypt, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's my dad. I don't need that. I'm all right. I'm fine. Just you, Dad, you can barely make it up the stairs, right?
Yep.
And the other is ignorance. And I say, you know, my dad and I have healthy testosterone-driven levels of denial, right?
Yeah.
especially if it involves vulnerability or, you know, being a man or whatever. And with my mom, she died because she fell and hurt herself in the bathtub, downward spiral medically, lost her in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
But we had no knowledge. We were ignorant. of the risks she was at, and we were ignorant about the technologies and resources that were available, perhaps to have helped her avoid that injury in the first place, right?
Yeah, to your first point, we installed a stairlift for someone last week, and the client really could barely walk. And it was obvious they were struggling to get up just around the house, not much less up the stairs.
Right.
And it was, we put it in a stairlift for them, and it's working great. It'll help them a lot, but they could have done that months, years later, or earlier, excuse me, and it would have made a big difference.
Sure.
And so that's kind of snowballed into a bathroom potentially and things like that, where they see what the possibilities are.
Well, let me frame it for you like this, yeah. Right? Why is Social Security set up to start at age 65? I'm on Social Security, right? It's because when that system was put in place, I'm supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And the life expectancy was 65. You're supposed to retire and maybe live for 12 to 18 months and then be gone, right? And now we're living to be 90, 95, 100 years old. So that creates a problem. When it comes to built homes, the homes that most people are living in, unless it's less than 5 or 6 years old, the odds are that home was designed and engineered for you to be dead at 65.
Definitely.
Meaning, and you may have some other ideas or thoughts here, but like, you know, bathroom doors that are 24 inches mm-hmm. wide, stairs all over the place. I was in a home last week that I could not go from one room to the next without engaging a step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was one step up, two steps down, whatever it is. The family you were working with last week that needs a stair glide, that person would be pretty much isolated in one room. Mm-hmm. That home doesn't serve mm-hmm. them anymore. What other kinds of areas do we need to be thinking about in the home?
Well, I think about our company, we help people stay in their home and help them be safe in and around their home. So the very first thing is just to get in your house, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So every house in Denver has got steps. There's very few. That even if it's just one may be just one too many for people.
Sure.
And then, like you said, there's some designs where you go up and down little steps. There's tri-level houses all over the metro area, including my own, not to mention full-length stairs. Everyone's got a basement, essentially, so you're all over the place.
Oh.
But just getting inside the house is what I think about as the first step, whether that's a couple steps into the garage, around the back door, the front door. That's not necessarily the easiest task.
Well, I went to visit my beloved's ex, who he's an architect, a great guy, Steve Hogg, and he lives near Wash Park. And I pull up, and his house is like 25 steps up from the street, right? I mean, not his, nothing he could do about it. But the fact of the matter, I'm like, wow, you know, a person with a mobility issue just would not be coming in and out of that house. And we see that all the time with the Medicaid projects we're working on, where they need to get in and out of their house, and because of the layout of the lot, it can be virtually impossible, sometimes impossible. So what are some of the, let's talk about egress, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Getting into and out of the house. What are some of the challenges that we run into there? And then what are some of the possible solutions?
Yeah, so the challenge really is, like you said, this the layout of the house on the site. So even I've seen new houses that are ranch houses that are they're great once you get inside, but the fact is they're actually 3 or 4 steps up from the garage floor. You still got to get in.
Oh, how about this one? These guys were really popular in the 70s. It's a split level.
Right?
Right? So you walk in, you got a tiny little landing,
right?
And you're either going
up or down
a flight or up a flight, right?
Yep.
Those are a bear because there's just not a lot of room to transition at that entry point, you know, that some of them aren't even ADA compliant. I mean, ADA would say we got to have at least 5x5, right?
5x5, right.
And they don't even, so how do you, it's almost impossible to even put lifts in there and make it work.
Very difficult on those. Those are tough. I mean, just getting inside the house, most people have a step or 2 or 3 or 5 just to get in from the garage floor up into the end of the house. So there you can look at doing a ramp potentially, either in the garage or outside on the front porch. But the problem with that is you need real estate for ramps. So
mm-hmm.
the general guideline is for every inch of rise, you need 12 inches of run on your ramp.
Right.
And if you've got a few steps, all of a sudden you're talking about 20 or 30 foot ramp.
Right.
And that's so hard to find space for.
So listeners, folks, just think about that. All right. Put a tape on the height from the threshold down to the main level of the ground, whatever that is, and however many inches that is, you're going to need that many feet of RAM. So if it's 18 inches, that's 18 feet of RAM. Right. Plus you're going to need transitions or switchbacks, or so you may lose 5 feet of run because you got to do a switchback, right?
Easily,
so it,
right?
It can be really a lot of real estate can be burned up trying to get a ramp, but you still need to get in and out of your house, right? So there are other options. So with ramps, we can build them out of pressure treated lumber.
We can do lumber. There's also metal ramps. So I like aluminum ramps personally around the front range, just because they don't rust.
Yeah.
You don't have to be out there every year sanding and staining them. So I like that. You've got some steel ramps that are out there. So there's lots of options.
And you can modify those.
Mm-hmm.
You can take them with you if you leave.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot to be said for those. And just to give you an idea of your listener out there going, well, how much does this stuff cost? You know, whatever it is. You know, if you can figure around $35 a square foot for decking, ramping, you know, whatever it is. That's a generous number.
Mm-hmm.
And you could certainly get anything done. Aluminum ramping is a little bit different. But the way to look at it, I think, is if I'm building a ramp, and a concrete's an option as well,
you could do concrete.
All right, or a mixture of those things. But if I'm looking at budget, I will spend more money buying an aluminum system than I will building a wood system, but my labor for that is going to be way less. So my experience has been they almost balance out. It's pretty close. So it empowers you as a consumer to think about what really functions best for you. The cost is going to be pretty close to the same.
That's right. Yeah, totally agree with you. Costs are pretty similar. Wood ramps, you can customize quite a bit more, obviously.
Yep.
Whereas the metal ramps are more modular, but there's ways to work around there. They come in various sizes and whatnot. So you've got some resale value potentially on a metal ramp. You could sell it on Craigslist. You can just scrap it. There's all sorts of different things.
Or take it with you.
Or take it with you, right?
Yeah.
Whereas a wood ramp, that's pretty much is what it is, and it's going to be at that house until you take it out.
Well, and you can't, you know, we've got wood burning bans now, too.
Right.
So you can't even burn the wood.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, again, they have a more natural look to them. A lot of people like that. It's a warmer, friendlier look. And we should think about non-slip situations with the wood ramps, whereas the metals are, they're already treated for non-slip surfaces, right?
Yeah, the metal ramps have a couple different floors, if you will. They can be solid, or they've got some that are out there, kind of this grated mesh that are, it's pretty grippy, which is nice.
It's grippy. I like that.
It's word.
Grippy.
I don't know
we
if that's a word.
Today. It's snowing. We need grippy.
There's not a lot of grippy today.
Yep. So, okay, so now I don't have room.
Right.
There's no physical way I can put a ramp to transition into and out of my house. What are my other options?
The other option really is a lift. So a couple different things you can do. For if you've got a little staircase, let's just say, from the garage into the house, you could even do a stair lift. So stair lifts are the little chairs that ride on the stairs. Those can be anywhere from, you know, 2 steps on to 20 steps.
Right.
So there's no limit on that. So we've done plenty of just in the garage. The other thing is more of a vertical platform lift. So that goes straight up. There's a little 3x4 foot platform that goes straight up into the home of the door of the home.
Yep. And let me tell you, folks, okay, Greg and I have done many, many, many of these projects together, and Greg knows what he's talking about, and he's the source that I go to. So, you know, these are things that we can definitely help you with. Mm-hmm. You just need to let us know. And one of the things I love about Greg is we both share this idea of educating our consumers and our customers so that you get to make an informed decision as to what's best for you and what works for you. We're here to help you figure out there are different options, and you can kind of pick what works best for you. But we've done any number of these VPLs in garages, or, I mean, it doesn't have to be a long run. It could be,
Well,
what's the tallest we can go with a VPL?
They go up to 14 plus feet.
Do you remember that one? I can't remember. It was at like Montbello or Green Valley Ranch, where you came out the main level into the garage, and it was like 12 feet up.
Yeah.
That was the most bizarre design of a house.
Yeah.
I mean, that's inside the garage.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy.
There's no counting. Figure out what's going on.
But we were able to get a VPL that would function in that situation.
Most of them are, the smallest one goes up to about 53 inches. So that covers almost 99% of the houses, but they can step up from there.
Okay.
So they can really travel some distance. They can go a whole story if we need to, like going up from let's just say a porch to, up to a deck on the back of the house, something like that, where right. you need to go up a full story. That's definitely possible.
And it may involve somebody else, like an HOA or a homeowner, but we've done these things in apartment complexes. A lot, you know, again, people need to be able to get into and out of their home.
Right.
We can do exterior stair glides, right? We've
right.
done a couple of those.
We did one of those. So the exterior lifts work well, maybe not necessarily when it's 6 inches of snow on the ground. But you dust off the snow and it'll work. So exterior lifts definitely
work
as well.
It's just designed to be in the weather, right?
That's
right. It's not like an interior stair glide.
It's got a little bit of more waterproofing inside. Comes with the cover to keep it out of the elements most of the time when you're not using it. So
yep.
those work well. We do it all the time.
Yep. Randy. Remember Randy?
Yeah.
He had a flight coming up to his apartment, and we had to put an exterior stair glide.
That's right, yep.
And then we built a little, he had a power chair, so we built him a little shed at the base.
Yeah.
And
it
so he parks
well.
His power chair there and rides his lift up to his...
And then we did one inside for him as well.
That's
so
right.
He's got,
that's right.
He's covered in and out.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you see, there's always some
and
kind
that
of
that was
solution.
A relatively modest condo that he had. But there's ways to figure it out. There's very few times where you go to someone's house and say, well, there's just no options.
Well, and Randy was on Medicaid, right?
Right.
And so, and that we hopefully, how are we doing on time, Hank? Okay. That's 15.
That's something.
He's over here. I think he's got some sort of spasticity or something. We were joking earlier. He's trying to start a wave by himself. But
yeah.
So
all three of us.
So we want to leave a little bit of time to talk about some of these programs and options to help people get funding.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let's keep that in mind when he hits us at about 5 minutes or
sure,
something.
Sure, absolutely.
Maybe start thinking about, but I'm really excited to get this information out to people because I think there are a lot of folks, again, it's denial is one thing, but ignorance is really, we can solve a lot of that. And there are a lot of people, I think, that just don't realize there may be something to do. So we just finished one that had that funky, you know, you come into a landing and mm-hmm. split level mm-hmm. and the stairs go both directions. You know, I'm out there going, there's no way to do this on the inside. Because then they had the transition from the landing through the front door,
right.
and now there are more steps out
yep.
there, right?
Yep.
So the solution there was a VPL in the back
yep.
to come right. off their deck, right?
Yeah, so the tri-level stuff is difficult with the small entryway. So sometimes you just got to take a step back and say, hey, that's not going to work. Let's find another entry point into the house, whether it's the back or the garage. Or
yep, be creative, yep. right?
That's right.
That's what we're trained to do, is to help you figure that out. And don't think just because something looks funky that you can't figure out a solution to it. Again, Cindy Sue Cook was on before, and we were talking about this. You know, ask. Find somebody you trust. Go to the website, Being Young at Any Age, or Empower, or Ascent Mobility. You know, find somebody that you can trust that'll give you the information. And, you know, knowledge is power, right? Lack of
Absolutely.
Knowledge is lack of power. So what other options? So interior, of course, if I've got stairs.
Right.
And as far as pricing goes, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference if it's a short run or a long run, right?
No, it does not. So stair lifts typically come to cover about anywhere from 14 to 15 steps, and then we'll just cut down the rail if it's a shorter staircase. So the price really doesn't matter on that front. So
and not to play games with money, we're looking at about $3,500, something like that.
Yeah, even a little less than that. So
okay.
even under just under $3,000 for a basic stair lift, which is what most people do. Really, no one's ever asked me to pay more for a stair lift after
right.
I quote them. So
right.
if I can get them one that is a good price, a good value, and it works great and it's safe, then everyone's happy.
Well, if you find anybody that does that, I've got some ideas for
yeah,
them too.
Right.
you know,
exactly.
Give me a referral there,
yeah,
buddy.
Funny. There's just not those folks don't usually exist too much.
right.
I haven't found too many.
Wow.
So a basic lift is about less than $3,000. And then you can go up from there. You can get into curved lifts that can do just about anything. We've
mm-hmm.
done spirals. We've done 180-degree turns and parks at the top and the bottom and multiple charging stations. We've gone three floors even. But those start to get up a little bit more. Those when they bend that rail that it rides on to fit your stairs.
That's custom. That's custom.
Right. It gets a little more expensive.
But think about it. All right. That, whatever that is, 10, 12, 50, you tell me a number. You know, I can put an elevator in, right? That you do elevators and all that. And we have a lot of people that are starting to move in that direction. Elevators are pricier than stair lifts, right?
They are.
But when you start comparing your return on investment of making your home accessible and safe versus being forced out of your home, you got to sell and relocate, find another house, or you got to move into some sort of a community or assisted living. Nursing homes, God forbid, you know, are like running like $8,000 a month or so. I didn't get into that with Cindy, our last guest. We'll have her back on. But, you know, the cost of these options can be very significant. So I tell people the cost that it would require them to pay us to make their home accessible and safe can be a drop in the bucket compared to now you got to relocate or do something else, right?
Really, it can be just a matter of weeks or just a few months payback compared to living in another facility. So like you mentioned, elevators get up there a little bit, but they also add value to your house and add the functionality of being able to move you or someone else or something up and down.
This is a commercial, okay?
Yeah.
This is the closest thing I get to commercials. You know, I don't care how old you are. You know, with Bentley Remodeling and Empower, we can do anything in the home. But if you're remodeling your bath or your kitchen, it doesn't make any difference. You should be thinking about accessibility.
Right.
And livability. You should be thinking zero threshold showers or you know, how do I make this home design, my bathroom, my kitchen, whatever it is, to accommodate anybody who might buy my house in the future. So not only are you going to get the benefit of it, but you're going to get the biggest return on investment. And your home will be much more marketable by doing it. Because, again, we're living with an aging population.
For sure. And you think about, too, also the number of visitors you have. So my folks were here just this weekend. The bathroom that we have for them in the basement, you know, they're still getting around okay. But at some point, we're going to have to make some changes there because it's just your typical tub shower combo, that type of thing, which isn't great as people get a little bit older. So at some point, even though we're younger, we might be changing that out and with accessibility in mind for guests that will be coming to our house going forward.
I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I'm still dealing with it. But I had a fall and I broke my tailbone. And it's very painful. None of us are immune from the risk of injury. And we really need to be proactive. And again, I tell people the bathroom is the 10 most dangerous square feet on earth.
Yeah.
Right? For anybody over 55 or under 7, but it's dangerous for anybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody can slip and fall. So real quickly, in the bathroom, we can get rid of bathtubs.
Yep.
Right? It's that threshold, that high sidewall that becomes the barrier. You know, bathtub design technology hadn't changed for 3,000 years.
Yeah, right. You know, got to hold water.
Yeah, and that's why Bentley Baths came about, was like, this is crazy. You know, there are technologies, walk-in tubs, transition tubs. There are things we can do to make that bathroom safe.
Mm-hmm.
Showers, you know, the idea of a shower with a threshold, you're not going to see those in the future.
No.
They are the current day dinosaurs. Nobody's going to put a shower pan with a threshold in it because we can now do zero threshold showers, right?
There's a lot of new design on drains, right, that allow you to do zero threshold. So it's just becomes part of the bathroom floor.
Yep. And we do a lot of those. I mean, and you think about the Medicaid market. Mm-hmm. Those are people that, you know, the government is acknowledging they have mobility issues and they'll pay us to get rid of the bathtub and put either a low threshold or a wheelchair accessible shower.
Exactly.
And we're always pushing towards the zero threshold whenever we can get the government to approve it, because it really is the best solution.
Yeah, it's great at any age, really. I mean, it's
so
it's
what really what nice. Else do we need to be talking about in terms of technology that's out there?
Yeah, one of the things that people don't see a whole lot or don't even know exists are the little tub cutouts too. So before we get to the point where we need walk-in showers and walk-in tubs and that type of thing, even just a simple tub cutout where we're taking that sidewall of the tub, cutting a U-shape and doing a little insert there, it alleviates that step-in by more than half. And that can just be what you need for a little bit of time just to help. Put a couple grab bars, maybe a handheld shower, and maybe a bench or something like that, and you've got yourself a pretty good solution. Until, you know, things progress down the road, and then maybe you need some of the bigger options that are out there for bath conversion.
And this is safety. Yep. Where, you know, absolutely. We also can look at health and the therapies and things. If we do have like a walk-in tub or a soaking appliance, right. We can actually apply therapies to that. But we're talking more about the accessibility and safety issues. Mm-hmm. We just did one of those tub cuts a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, now I actually have a system where it has an insert that if somebody wants to plug the cut up and right. and still use it as a bathtub, they can do that. Not right. you know, not the greatest solution in the world. I don't know how long they last, but it, you know, again, technology, there's equipment and things that are being designed to help give us options. And that's what I mean when I say to people, I can make your bathroom 100 times safer for under $100.
Right.
You
right.
know, it could be lighting. Could be grab bars.
Absolutely.
It could be getting throw rugs off the floor, area mm-hmm. rugs, mm-hmm. things like that. Making sure your accessories and things like that are reachable. Thermostatic protection on valves, things like that.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be hugely expensive.
No, not at all.
So I've got a stair in my house, mm-hmm. and I'm in a wheelchair. How do you get me up and down the stairs in that case?
Yeah, those are tough. So there are what's called incline platform lifts, where it's taking a wheelchair onto the platform and then going at the angle of the stairs upstairs or downstairs. There's a lot going on there from an engineering perspective. You need lots of room at the bottom to get that platform all the way down.
What about at the top?
At the top, it really just comes right up to that top step or
okay.
the level. And so you don't need really any room at the top, maybe 6 inches. It's coming down where that whole platform maybe is almost 48 inches deep. It's got to come all the way down past the last step and get near the floor so you can get off. That needs a lot of room, like 6 or 7 feet.
Oh, 6 or 7 feet. Okay. And that's straight in front of the stairs.
Right.
Okay.
And then the stairs need to be wide enough to be able to house the rail that it rides on and the motor and the
platform.
So will it
36-inch wide
36
stair
is
handle it?
Close. But you need 36 clear,
okay,
right, which a lot of people don't have.
That, you mean drywall to drywall?
Right,
or
drywall to drywall.
Joists or, okay.
Yeah, drywall to whatever's on the other side, whether that's trim or drywall or handrail or what have you. More is better. So there's only so many places where that works. And
okay.
So it's pretty limited. Wheelchair accessibility up the stairs, that might be where you're looking for an elevator potentially. That might be a better option. A little more expensive. But those incline platform lifts aren't particularly inexpensive either.
And
so.
We've done some really cool. I remember this over in Baker, one Baker, but gentleman, I won't use his name, but the cab has the floor on top of it.
Yep. So
and
that's a through-the-floor
elevator. It goes up through the upper level,
right.
and
yep.
it lifts the floor up on the upper level, and
yep.
then you come down, and the floor stays. So you,
yeah, it plugs the hole on the upper level when it's coming down. So you don't need the big shaft and a pit and all that sort of. That's kind of the old school elevator. Now we've got lots of other options that require a lot less construction, and the elevator itself doesn't cost as much as they used to. So there's some good options there on elevators as well.
Yep, and pretty cool stuff. And
yeah, they look neat too.
You've got this Flintstone tube.
Yep, there's a vacuum tube that. Yeah,
I love that. You need to call Greg just to get
kinda
the literature
like
on this.
The old bank tubes that go, yeah, but a little slower, so you don't arrive.
Well, good, because my false teeth would fall out.
You need to
ride
them on
these. My hearing aids would be lying on the floor.
But those work great. There's a lot of options on elevators. So thinking about new technologies, elevators have really taken lots of step forwards on the number of options that are out there.
And the amount of space they take up and all that
yes.
is, there's just amazing options out there.
Yep.
So I'm encouraging people, come to the Being Young at Any Age or Greg's website, ascentmobility.com, or Empower Home Solutions, doesn't matter. Just reach out to us and get the information, and we will get you squared away. We wanted to talk about payment options.
Yep.
Can you just real quickly maybe give the listeners an overview of what we've got out there?
Yeah, from an accessibility equipment perspective, what we don't see is payment coming from healthcare plans, Medicare, standard Medicaid does not pay for these things. I've seen long-term care plans pay occasionally, and those aren't particularly common. But most of it's private pay. We've got a little bit of payment like you know of in the Medicaid waiver program.
Right.
And then there are some foundations here in the Denver area that help those in need, like the Home Builders Foundation, Friends of Man.
So Home Builders Foundation is a nonprofit, right?
Correct.
And they help pool resources, whether it's contractors, equipment providers, whatever,
yep.
to help people in need.
Yep. They're providing solutions, whether that be a ramp or a
yep.
bathroom model or a lift. free of charge to the client by pooling resources and funds and contractors together to do things at a much lower cost.
So that's a resource. And you had another one you wanted to mention.
Well, the other one, too, is we've got that new tax credit from the state of Colorado.
Yeah.
The Department of Internal Affairs, or Labor, excuse me.
Yeah.
Department of Local Labor. Affairs.
Local Affairs.
Sorry. Local Affairs, if you go onto their website, it's just launching, so the process, I'm sure, is still kind of figuring itself out.
But we're going to be right in the middle of that. We're both planning to take advantage, and I've already been at the last show we were talking about it. But the idea is, if you qualify, the state will give you a dollar for dollar up to $5,000 tax credit, not deduction.
Correct.
Dollar for dollar, and you can earn up to $150,000. But you need these services, and you go through the qualification process pretty much like the home market.
Right, and it's something you've got to do it before you do it.
Yes.
Right? You have to pre-qualify.
Yeah, don't go out and do it and then try to get this certificate.
Yes.
You want to be approved for the program before you do the work.
That's right.
Greg Shepherd, thanks for coming, buddy.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. This has been informative. We're going to have you back at some point here, and we'll dig a little deeper into these things. But thank you very much. That was great.
Thank you.
And this is George Bentley, your host of Being Young at Any Age. Thanks for joining us today, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Being Young at Any Age with George Bentley. Tune in next weekend to learn how to create a roadmap to achieve happiness, health, and wellness today on EZ 1430.
Hi, I'm Tom.
And I'm Lorenzo, and we host the Pop Style Opinion Fest.
That's right. As authors, bloggers, and critics, we love dishing out our fabulous commentary.
And now, we're bringing it to the podcast world.
We're rendering judgment on the worlds of celebrity, pop culture, and fashion.
Reviewing everything from the red carpet to the runway.
To film and TV shows, and pretty much anything else that catches our eye or piques our interest. So strap yourselves in for some hardcore opinionating, darlings.
Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, radio.com, or wherever you get your shows.